All right, so we're starting a new series called Battle Plans. And it kind of really just goes with, you know, we're continuing. It's already March. Can you believe that? It's already March, March 2nd. We kicked off the year sharing a little bit of vision and idea of where we believe God is going to take us as a young adults ministry. We went through February talking about our relationships. Last week, we talked about the ability to kind of heal and restore some of those relationships moving forward. And I believe as much as we've been talking the vision and growth and about what God wants to do, it's very important for in this month that we're going to talk about the battle plan for that. We want to hear God's strategy for how to win in our lives, how to win, how we can see these things come to pass, in, not just in the ministry, but in our own personal lives, right? In our marriages, in our finances, in our grades, in our relationships, in our workplaces, in whatever place that we're believing for God to make a change, we want to see growth in those areas. And I believe that there is a strategic plan that we find in the Word of God, and that is the battle plan that we're going to go through. One of the things that I think is important about what Pastor Joel shared was some of the prophetic words that he gave for us as a ministry and how what we can do to see that come to pass. Now, if you don't recall the prophetic words that we're going to change, that ministries will come out of this of the young adults, we will see, I believe there are people sitting in this room that God has put something on your heart that needs to be a ministry that will serve people, whether it be inside the walls of this church or maybe outside. But how does that happen? How do those things come to pass? Well, one of the things that's very important is to remember that as much as we talk about growth, because I'm going to talk about it all the time, that we do want to grow. We want to see this room full. But remember that we are not building crowds. We are not trying to build a crowd. We are trying to ignite a generation. Come on, we're trying to ignite a generation of people who are going to carry his gospel to the highways and the byways outside of these walls. Because once we ignite that generation, we want to see a move of God unlike any move that we've seen before. As you might have known, Billy Graham recently passed away. Billy Graham was in front of, not counting TV, not counting radio, was in front of 200 million people in his day, across the globe. You know, across the globe, to get you an idea, there are 300 million Americans. So two-thirds of the country saw, if you want to see it that way, saw Billy Graham live. Can you imagine that? Two-thirds of our nation. And he went around the world. He influenced not just our presidents, but heads of state all over the world. He counseled with the Queen of England. This man had a mantle on his life, an anointing on his life to share the gospel around the world. And I believe that there is a Billy Graham mantle. I can't say it like excited enough because I'm not just trying to just bring up emotionalism out of you. But I believe that what Billy Graham had on his life is going to be multiplied into different people throughout the globe. And we are going to see a move of God like, I believe it. I believe that what the times that we are in, we can't afford just to sit and be comfortable on a Friday night because we need to get that fire within us as young people to say, you know what, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to say yes, and I want to see this world saved for Jesus. And I think one of the important things to know, how does that happen? How do we see these things happen? Because it's cool, you know, it's become kind of like cool talk to say, you know, we want to see a move of God. These are all really cool buzzwords, and they sound really cool, and they sound like, hey, you'll get a clap if you say we want to see these things change. But I really mean it. I really think we got to do this. But how does it happen? It can't just happen by living your life and then coming on a Friday night, maybe coming on a Sunday morning, or two or three services a week. That's great. Even coming to 6 a.m. prayer, those are all great things. But I believe God has a strategic plan for how we can see these things executed in our lives, how we can see these executed in the world. Now, I read a book recently that kind of, the point of the book, or the point was introducing, the book was introducing this idea that there are areas of influence, cultural areas of influence that society has already established that are not formal things, but that society, that we can look at society and say, wow, this is an area of influence. And the premise was that as believers, we belong in all these areas of influence that the world has to offer. And as we get into these areas of influence with the favor of God, we will have the opportunities, we will have the opportunity to influence these influential areas for the kingdom of God. And then and only then will we be able to see what God is really wanting to do. I want to share them with you quickly, but that's where the battle plan starts. See, because we're talking strategy, we're talking about what it looks like to see these things that we talk about, right? We want them to be more than slogans or tweetable things that people say. How do we put these things to action? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about and unpacking for the next few weeks, is a battle plan of what that looks like practically for us in our life. But first, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn with me, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody all right? Ephesians chapter 4, we'll have it up on the screen for you. But we want to look in the Word of God and see what... This is a familiar verse for most of us. In verse number 11, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." And that's where we get our fivefold ministry from, right? We think of positions in the church or places that, Billy Graham was an evangelist. Well, there's pastors and teachers and these things, right? But then we go into verse 12. So he just listed off these positions that we see in the church. And then he said, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying," "for the edifying of the body of Christ." Did you catch that there? So here God says, I have the pastors, I have the fivefold ministry. And we sometimes, in our minds, I believe we kind of stop there because it looks like, oh my gosh, you've arrived. You're a pastor, you're a prophet, you're an evangelist. You fill stadiums. But God set up that fivefold ministry. God set up these positions for what? For the edifying and for the teaching of the saints, for the equipping of the saints. So I have a position of pastor, so that I can equip those who are not pastors, those of you who are in the church, so that you can come, that you can be edified, so that you can learn, so that you can be encouraged. So for what? For the work of the ministry. Wait, so it's your job to do the work of the ministry. So wait, you guys are the ones who are supposed to spread the gospel about Jesus in your workplaces, not just the pastor? Wait, so you guys are called to do that? So you're called to talk to the person next to you on the airplane or behind you in the supermarket line and share the gospel with them? The people in your school, you mean you're supposed? That's what the Bible is saying. It's not, let me just get them in front of my pastor. Let me have the prophet come and give you a word. Let me get you to a Billy Graham crusade or the Harvest Crusade, because that's when you're going to be saved. If you look to the person next to you, that's the next Billy Graham. Those, you guys are the people who are supposed to do the work of the ministry. I'm supposed to do the work of the ministry for the equipping of the saints, for the edifying of the church. Excuse me. Whoa, that's a tall order. But that's what the Word of God says. So when you think about a calling that you might have on your life, when you think about a position or a role that you play, well, I'm just a Christian. I'm just a this or that. I don't know. I'm a student. I'm a barista. I'm a mechanic. I'm a data entry clerk. Whatever it might be that you might have, for some reason, downplayed, God knows exactly what you are, and he has you exactly where you're at. And he has a plan for you right where you're at. And so your call, maybe your call for some people are called to a fivefold ministry, but if not, you are still called nonetheless. And you are not any less important. It's not just the people who work for church staff. And that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what these areas of influence are talking about. See, because for too long, the body of Christ is just focused on what the church or what religion has to do. What I want to do is I want to share these areas of influence with you. And as I start to read them out, I want you to think about Where the status or the position that they're held right now and where they're going. And then imagine if the church had the ultimate influence in these areas, okay? So we have religion, right? So religion is not just church, but if you think in terms of religion as terms of an influential part of culture, right? There's all religions. There's a New Age, which is really big, right? So you think of everything when people think of religion. If God, not just the religion of Christianity, if God and his people had the ultimate influence in this area, family, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business, right? So these are areas that we can look at and say, oh yeah, these are cultural areas of influence. So as I listed those, think about family. What do we see happening to the idea of the family? Single-parent households are like the new norm, right? The idea of the family is rotting away. But then you imagine, now, insert God, insert his people. If Christians had the ultimate influence in what the family was doing, what that would look like. Or take education, right? They're passing new laws all the time of what's going to be required for our children to learn, and then actually what they're taking away. So think about where it's currently going, and then imagine as Christians and believers if we had ultimate influence in those areas. And I'm not just talking about Christian education, right? Like, oh, it'd be nice if there was Christian concepts, because there's Christian schools. This church has a Christian school. But I'm talking about having a position of influence to influence the secular realm. Because the idea is not to get all these areas, and this is where we want to get into, is to not get all these cultural areas of influence, and then we want to funnel them into the church. Oh gosh, we just got to get all those people to come to Christian schools. We just want everyone to be in a Christian school. No, I don't think that's the answer. I don't think that's a realistic answer. Why wouldn't we want Christian educators? I mean, there's Christian educators in this room right now. Why wouldn't we want believers that are going to love on students, that are going to love on parents, whether they're Christian or not, and they're going to shine the light of Jesus? I mean, I know there's teachers in the house. You guys know if you guys are talking to parents and you guys are sharing the love of Jesus, tell me they won't know that there's something different about you. And they're going to want to know. They're going to, what's different about this person? This teacher loves my child. How do they, you know, in schools, I don't even think you can, like, hug a child anymore. My wife, Angelina, she's a teacher here at the school, and she just gets to love on all the kids, and all the kids get to know that they're loved by her. They get to know when they're coming in a Christian environment that they get to be loved. Now, that's great, and it'd be great to have that. But what if, even in the realm where people aren't going to recognize, because they expect it at a Christian place, but in a public education where they weren't expecting to have that, if Christians were able to be who they're called to be in those realms, if there's Christian superintendents, if there's Christian principals, if there's Christian teachers, doesn't that not just change something? Change will happen there, not just because, because God is going to move. So the idea that we want to look into is where it dials back to our calling. See, let me share with you, if we can real quickly go in Matthew chapter 16. Because we see the church for the first time. We see the word ecclesia, the Greek word ecclesia that we get the word church from. And as I also say to you that you are Peter. This is Jesus talking to Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And that church in the Greek is ecclesia. And that's the first time we see that word. And it means a congregating of believers, right? A gathering of believers. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So this is Jesus saying, my church, the gathering of my people, the solution that I have for the world as we know it, of all this crud that's going on in the world, the answer to all that is the church or the body of Christ. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. See, a lot of times we Christians are like, oh my gosh, the devil's taking over. We have no more ground. But do we forget that the word of God says hell cannot prevail? Hell will not win. Hell cannot win. You know, it might look like we lose some battles sometimes, but we will not lose. We will not lose. We have Jesus' word over our lives that says we win. We have Jesus' word that says, I am more than a conqueror. So when we're feeling like we're losing, when we're feeling like life is just too rough, when there's these different expectations or things happen differently than I thought they would, but I'm a Christian, man. These things aren't supposed to happen. the gates of hell will not prevail against your life. The enemy is not going to win. See, he's at work. He's going to work. He's doing his job. But are you doing yours? And I'm not, don't get me confused. I'm not saying it's about works, right? Like, oh, you must not be praying enough. You must not be reading enough Bible. That's why these things are happening to you in your life. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we have to understand that it's not over. That we have to get up. And what it looks like for us in our areas, every day we have to get up and see our world as a battleground. Oh my gosh, but that's too much work. That's just too much work. No, but God has not called Christians to sit around. And I think that's where the challenge is. Can I get in your face enough to say, I think that's where the problem is. For too long, we've just thought Christianity was this comfortable thing. Let me just sit in my room. Let me just listen to some worship music. Let me drink out of a coffee cup that says Jesus on it, and then go to church with my friends, and then have my work life or my school life. And they know I'm Christian, but I don't ever have to talk to them. And then I'll come to shift on Friday night, and I'll be with my Christian friends, and that's good. Like, just let me do that. But for too long, we've kind of been in this place where, why don't I have to tell people? Well, the pastor gets to do that. Or those bold people. I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert. Like, I don't have to talk to people. I don't have to get outside of myself. It is still, as much as I'm an extrovert, it is still hard to get outside of myself to talk to people about anything. You know, strangers, right? Like, you guys, like, obviously, I'm always like, yeah, what's up? It's easy. But, yeah, get me in front of a stranger, and it's still a stranger. But we have to get outside of ourselves. Like, man, I know, man, hell is too hot, and Jesus paid too high a price. You know, like, who am I to think I just get to, like, sit down and be comfortable? Jesus never said you're signing up for comfort. No one ever said Christianity was comfortable. Yeah, we have comfy seats. Yeah, we're safe. Yeah, this is a great an environment in a great place. But we are mistaking as a church if we think that it was that we're supposed to just build comfy places because that's going to be our cushy life as a Christian. I hope you didn't sign up for something just so comfortable that's going to make you feel nice all the time. That someone's going to come and tell you that everything's okay. Like, think life will be good with Christ, but that doesn't mean that hardships won't come. And in fact, Jesus says hardships will come. If anything, he promises that things are going to be hard. You being a Christian will be persecuted. But when they do that, Jesus says, when they do persecute you, meaning that it's going to happen. And maybe if you're not getting enough persecution, maybe enough people don't know you're Christian. Maybe you don't know you're Christian sometimes. Look, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm not trying to do that. But part of me does think that we need to shake ourselves up sometimes. This is for me too. This is not just for you. This is not me beating you over the head. Like, you guys need to tell more people about Jesus. I need to tell more people about Jesus. I need to step out of myself more. I need to not look down or I need to obey when God says, talk to that person. I disobey sometimes. Man, there was the other day, I mean, I wish I could tell you all these glorious stories of, yeah, and then God told me to do this and I did and this miracle happened. That's great. Like, those are cool. But how about the time that when there was this lady I was walking and she was limping and I felt like God said to pray for her. But I was like, God, but there's those, but then she's going to think I'm weird and there's other people around and I don't want to. And I just sped up. I just defied God. I was so uncomfortable. I could cry right now thinking about it. Like, I disobeyed, but that was what, I didn't want to be uncomfortable. I didn't want people to see me. I didn't want to get rejected. I didn't want to pray for her and not see a miracle in front of my eyes. But Jesus died. But Jesus got on the cross before people. He didn't care. But Jesus was humiliated before anyone because he knew our name. He knows our name because he loves us. And I'm kind of getting sidetracked a little bit, but gosh, God is good, right? And we serve a God that knows where we're at. We serve a God that knows where we're at. Look, look. This is not, oh my gosh, I don't tell enough people about Jesus. I'm a horrible person. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm saying, can we get that passion within us? See, because I think it would be a little bit easier if I could call someone and share my story. Like, man, gosh, I stepped out today and nothing happened. Or I stepped out and I got cussed out. But if I'm calling you, I feel good about it. But if we're like, oh, you did? That's weird. You're right. Like, but if we could share each other's like stories with that, that would be cool, right? Like, hey, how many people did you pray for today? Oh man, I got to pray for two people. How about you? Oh man, one. But I'm gonna do two tomorrow. Or there's this person at work. I've been trying to build up the courage. Like, oh, I want to. He knows I'm a Christian. And I just like, I want to invite him to church, or I just want to ask him if I could pray for him. He was telling me about his hard time that he's going through. And I wanted to say, can I pray for you? And I opened my mouth and I was just like, ah, and he thought I was weird, but tomorrow I'm going to do it. Awesome. Do that. Can we be those kind of people that steps out? Can we be those kind of people that lives up to the word that God said was going to happen? Let me get back on. So what does that look like in the coming weeks? What do we want to talk about? In the battle plan, we want to lay out a strategy. We've acknowledged that there's these areas of influence that we see in our society that culture has established. And we want to see what that looks like for us. Because not that we have the church down and everything's great within the church, but the church is a great area of influence. But we have to stop thinking that it's the only one. I'll give you a case in point. Excuse me. You know, I want to read this to you. Because by the end of this series, what we're wanting, what's the point of this series? By the end of this series, I want us to get a word in our hearts. I want us to have an idea, what we'll hear from God on what our call is in our life. See, the cool thing about young adults, a lot of us, some of us maybe on the younger side, or no matter where you are in the spectrum of 18 to 30-ish, are at a place where you're still maybe figuring out what life looks like. Maybe you're still going to school. Maybe you're figuring out some training. Maybe getting some certifications or taking classes of what life could look like. The cool thing is, but where does that look like for God? See, because God speaks to us, and a lot of times we're like, man, the closer I get with God, the more I just want to work with for church, or the more I feel called to be a pastor, or the more I feel called to do ministry. And that's great, and I'm not negating that by any means. But what if, can I pose to you the idea that God puts a burden in our hearts for something, and it doesn't necessarily have to just be pointed towards the realm of the church world or starting a ministry. But what if, let's open to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse number 19. Actually, I don't think I have it on the screen, sorry, so I'll read it to you. Matthew, Mark, Luke. John chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. This is Jesus talking. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son of God can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does," talking about God, "the Son also does in like manner." Verse 20, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." So now we are heirs of Christ, right? We're heirs, as born again, we're heirs. So when God talks about his children, his son, he's talking about his children. So it's talking about how God is telling his son, will tell his son his plans, right? That he himself will do, and greater things will be done. So that means he's talking to me and he's talking to you. And he's saying, I only see what I see God do. So he's saying God wants to show you what he wants to do in people's lives. That he wants to tell you about plans. You see, God has a redemption plan. We don't see. I love how Angelina was talking about how we don't see the end from the beginning from the end. We see our right now. We see yesterday. We don't know what the future is. God sees the whole redemptive plan. And he has a full redemptive plan of how he's going to redeem people to himself. And so what happens is, he has these plans, and he wants to give us insight as believers on how we can do this. I believe God wants to share with us for our lives how we fit into his plan. So God will put something. So I believe God invites us. So where does this happen? As we get in our prayer time, as we get spend time in the word, God will start to deposit things into our hearts. God will start to put a burden on our hearts. And then that burden becomes an invitation to join him. Now, this is where where I believe the twist comes in terms of where it looks like for our area of influence. See, because as God puts something on our hearts, maybe it's children. You have this desire for children. And then sometimes in the church world, we can think like, oh my gosh, I have this heart for children. I need to be your children's minister. Or I need to do children's ministry. Because it has to be in the church realm. But what if God is inviting you? What if God is inviting us when he lets us know of his plans of a calling to be a teacher in the public school system? Or to be a pediatric surgeon? Or to figure out, to be a scientist so you can figure out childhood cancer cures? Do you get what I'm saying? So we've thought in this realm of the church world, which is great. But what if God has put something on our hearts that is outside, not bigger, not less, not worse, different? Maybe it's in arts and entertainment. You have this talent. You've always had this desire to be an actor, but then you got saved. And then you go, oh my gosh, Hollywood is horrible. I can't be saved, so I got to just change it. So I'm just going to serve in church. That's great. We want you to serve in church. But if God's put that desire in your heart, do it. Could Hollywood use some more Christians? Right? Could the education field use some more Christians? Could family life use more influential Christians? Could family therapists? Could we use some more godly family therapists? Instead of just go home and try these practices. If you could use a heart of God when you talk to clients, when you talk to patients. You get what I'm saying? And this is where I'm talking about as believers. What are we called to? What are the desires of our heart? Because I don't believe God wants to just flip the script on you. I wanted to be this, but now I'm a Christian, so I don't get to be that. God doesn't want me to do it. Why can't God use you to be something that he's put on your heart? Man, if you've desired to be a police officer your whole life since you were a little kid, God knows that. And if God wants to open doors for that, heck yeah, we want believers that are Christians. Come on. This doesn't have to be abnormal for us. We don't have to, oh my gosh, I must have heard wrong. Or now that I'm really pressing into God, it has to change. It can't really be that anymore. So that's what we're going to talk about. That's where I believe that's how I think we're going to get this done. That's the practical. That's how it looks like. We're to ignite a generation is great. To fill a room is great. But to have believers that will walk out of this place and that will go into their areas of influence, that will go into the schools, that will go into government. Come on, could we use, I don't know about you, I don't really trust very many politicians. But if we could definitely use some godly people that will run for office and hold a political office that are going to be people of integrity. You don't think God would open doors? You don't think God would bless somebody? You know, I start to wonder, like, I wonder if you can even be in office if you don't lie at some point. Well, hey, somebody should try it. Right? Maybe it's you. Maybe you're called to political offices. I don't know. But I know this, that there are dreams in this place. There are people in this place that you've wondered, that you've had a dream, that you've had a desire, that you believe God put, but then for some reason maybe someone talked to you about it, or you just got this idea because you've never really seen very many Christians do it, or just it looks like an area that would be rough. You know, oh, it would be rough for Christians to be in that sphere. I don't think Christians can be there. Christians should be everywhere. Christians should be everywhere. And we're gonna see it in the Bible in the upcoming weeks. Because I don't want to just talk to you about this idea. We're going to go through the Bible and show you that there was people that funded Jesus' ministry. There was women that funded Jesus' ministry that were successful in business. That were able to fund a ministry. There are kingdom builders in this place that it is your calling to make lots of money. Right? Does that sound weird? Like, God wants to give you resources. Not to make you this greedy person. Not, oh my gosh, prosperity gospel. No, that God wants to bless your hand. God wants to bless your hand because he knows he can trust you to build kingdom with it. And not just, oh my gosh, give to the church. Maybe it's do something within your business. Maybe your business gives back to positive influences. You know what I'm saying? It's not do it all to bring it back into the church realm. That's not what I'm talking about. Are we good? I know that God is speaking to somebody right now and giving you that freedom, giving you that breakthrough that you've wanted to pursue that dream. But my parents always wanted, or I always wanted to work for the church, or I always, who said that it's not ministry? we saw in the first verse that we looked at, for the ministry, for the work of the ministry, meaning you are the work of the ministry. You do the work of the ministry. The work that you do is ministry. Amen? That's all I have for tonight.